Today we get to reflect on the great event of the departure of the Israelites from Egypt. That was in the first reading, the Exodus, or at least the beginning of it. And then in the Gospel, we see Jesus as the fulfillment of a prophecy from the prophet Isaiah. You might have noticed that in this Gospel, more of the text comes from the Old Testament than from Matthew himself, because there's a long quotation from Isaiah the prophet about the servant of the Lord, Jesus. Well, let's start with this idea of the departure from Egypt. It's described as a huge crowd, all leaving on one day. When I saw this number, 600,000 men on foot, not counting the little ones, plus a crowd of mixed ancestry, I was trying to figure out how many people that would be. Maybe that's because I like numbers, but if you're only counting the men and there's 600,000, there's got to be at least 600,000 women, and the children probably twice as many. I said little ones. I don't know how when they count, maybe below the age of 12. And then a crowd of mixed ancestry, so that's inevitable. They lived in Egypt for 430 years. Certainly there was intermarriage, and there was who knows how many different races had over those centuries been mixed, and apparently they don't count among the 600,000, so it's in the millions somewhere. Naturally, I thought of our visit to Quiapo last Tuesday. We had a pilgrimage and we went to Quiapo. Quiapo Church is always filled with people. We were there, it was 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, so it wasn't a peak time at all, but the church was still full of people. It always is. And the tour guide, who we had arranged to join us, he gave us some of the history and mentioned, of course, the Traslacion that takes place on January 9, when there are millions of people who come to pay or venerate the image of the Black Nazarene. And the tour guide said that the record for the Traslacion was 26 million people in one day. I said to myself, that's certainly an exaggeration, very certainly an exaggeration. I've read accounts of it. Certainly over a million is not uncommon. Some people have estimated maybe as many as 2 million in one day, which is a huge, huge crowd, but it's not 26 million. Anyway, the reason that comes to mind is because here it says 600,000. Nobody counted them. Nobody sat down with a little counter or a piece of paper and a pencil. It was just an estimate. And is it an exaggeration? Who knows? Who knows? It's almost certainly an exaggeration that they all left on one day, because it's logistically impossible to get that many people to do one thing at the same time. We had 50 people on our pilgrimage. It's very hard to get 50 people to do the same thing at the same time, get them all on the bus or get them all off the bus. So 50 people is difficult. Multiply that by 100,000 times, and you can imagine moving a crowd like that would take a long time. And along with the animals, just the, like I say, it's a logistical nightmare. Even in the Traslacion in Quiapo, one of the difficulties is, where do all these people relieve themselves? And where do they get food and water? Of course, it's an army of vendors in Quiapo, so there's always food available, but not when you're walking through the desert. So they had to carry their unleavened loaves with them. And then the animals, okay, so you can imagine, it's mind-boggling, the event. And it would have caused an enormous upheaval in Egyptian society, because all of a sudden, their lower class, their slave population, disappears. Now, I don't think there's any historical record on the Egyptian side of this, but it would take generations to recover from such a huge upheaval, a huge loss. Now, so why did the scripture say it'll happen in one day and a huge number of people in one day? There are several reasons. On one hand, the arrival of the Israelites in Egypt, which is 430 years earlier, was a very small number, 70 people. 70 people, when they were in the Promised Land, they were insignificant. They were just wandering foreigners. But 2 million people marching into the promised land is an invasion. that's enough to take over any territory. And it's a sign of God's favor to his chosen people while they were still in slavery. He multiplied them. He took a very small number and he made them into a great multitude. Another more theological way of pondering this is this. The departure from Egypt represents freedom from sin. Now, of course, the bigger symbol or the more prominent symbol is the passing through the Red Sea as a symbol of baptism. But the whole Exodus is departure, freedom from slavery to sin. The Exodus from slavery into freedom. In the case of the Israelites, it's literally slavery and literal freedom. In the case of Christians, it's, and anyone who follows Jesus, it's freedom from sin and death, entry into eternal life. Why is it important to show that it's a huge number and that it happened in one day? Because this demonstrates God's power over sin. How many sins do you have? I've had people come to me to come to confession. They haven't been to confession in 30 years. And they say, well, Father, I can't remember all the sins. And I say, no one could remember all the sins. There's probably hundreds of thousands. I don't say that, but it's true. I mean, if you think of sins and even small sins, they multiply over the years and they end up to being huge numbers. And what does God do? In one moment, he can set us free. In one day, he can set us free of all the sins we have ever committed in a whole lifetime. One sacrament is enough, baptism for sure, but also one good confession is enough to wipe out or set us free from 600,000 sins. So I'm using this number symbolically, of course, but the point is, when we're talking about freedom from sin, we're talking about application of an enormous grace from God, enormous power, enough to, just the power that freed millions of Israelites from slavery in one day is nothing by comparison to the power of setting us free from sin in one moment. You see the point there. So that's an application of this Exodus to our situation. We don't have to be afraid of not being able to count our sins, or we don't have to be afraid of how difficult it is to get these all these sins out of our system. No, we need the grace, the power of God. And it can happen in one moment, in one sacrament. Now, let's turn to the gospel, because this power, this divine power, is made available to us in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is presented in the gospel as, well, first of all, being opposed by the Pharisees to the point that they're trying to kill him now, but he's also being presented as one who cures everyone. Many people followed him when he withdrew from the presence of the Pharisees. Many people followed him, and he cured them all. See, divine power. It's not hard for Jesus to cure, to set free from demons, to set free from sin, to save from death. It's not hard. He's exercising divine power. Then by the way, I want to build on what was said a couple of days ago. We heard Jesus praising the Father for what was hidden from the learned and the clever and revealed to the little ones. Remember that passage? I think it was Wednesday. Jesus was rejoicing because this is the way of God. He hides things from the learned, from the experts, from the Pharisees, and he reveals it. He reveals his ways to the little ones, those who are open to receive. Jesus is still rejoicing in the ways of the Father, even as he's fleeing or withdrawing for the sake of his life. He's still rejoicing in the ways of the Father, and he's fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies. Here, the prophecy taken from Isaiah, one of the suffering servant passages from Isaiah, shows that this servant of God in whom the Father delights, my servant in whom I delight, the one who is the bearer of the divine spirit, is not going to make a commotion. He works in secret. He says he will not contend or cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. Well, that was what Jesus was doing when he withdrew from the Pharisees. He said, okay, God doesn't mind working in secret. He doesn't mind if we don't make a huge display. But he does mind if we're so learned and clever that we interfere with his work. It says here that he's bringing this gift of God to the Gentiles. Now, if we put this gospel together with the first reading is the salvation of the Jews and a large crowd of people of mixed ancestry. So it implied pretty much anybody who wanted to go with them could go with them. Anyone who wanted to be set free from slavery or leave Egypt, they could go. It's clearer when we see Jesus as bringing divine grace to the Gentiles, which the Jews weren't thinking of that. But here's the servant bringing justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. So the great exodus that Jesus brings about is for everybody, or for anyone who's willing to follow him. Whether it's 600,000, 600 million, 600 billion, doesn't matter. He can carry them all. He can carry us all. He can free us all. And this is why he was sent. This is why the Father sent him. This is why he placed his spirit on him. This is why he fulfills his ministry. One last thought, because this idea of being set free from sin, even though it can happen in one moment in one sacrament, it's also a process as we make our pilgrimage. And going back to the Israelites, even if they left Egypt in one day, they didn't arrive in the Promised Land in one day. In fact, they didn't even cross through the Red Sea on the first day. Remember, there are stages. When they get out of Egypt, they're wandering around long enough for Pharaoh to change his mind and send his army to chase them down, and then they keep going and going. They get to the edge of the Red Sea, looks like a dead end there. Then there's this next dramatic stage of the Exodus, of passing through the Red Sea, and then there's the passage through the desert. There's a lot more to it than simply leaving Egypt. And this is a reminder to us that there's more to our life than simply receiving one sacrament one time. There's the whole pilgrimage, following the Lord. On days when we feel like it, on days when we don't feel like it. On days when it's easy, days when it's hard. Following the Lord, persevering in this pilgrimage of hope. So we continue, because we know that the power comes from God. We rejoice to be able to be set free, and we commit ourselves to following this Savior who sets us free, not just from an earthly slavery, but from all slavery, so that we can enjoy freedom and eternal life.